Where do you keep getting your information?
This from
is
you.
Why,
you.
This
said
is why I question everything you say.
You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Webcom... This sneeze right in my face. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, part of the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com. This is newscast for April 14th, 2013. And this is the 99th episode of the Webcomic Beacon newscast. And when we come back with the 100th, that'll be a special episode. I am in contact with the old crews, plural, for just a little get-together episode for some fun. So look forward to that. For now, I'm Fess, and with me, join us once again, Ben Carver from AnimationAficionados.com. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And also from AnimationAficionados.com, as well as Dyson? Dacien?
There you go.
Dacien?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Close enough.
Neil! Neil, TV's Mr. Neil!
That's right, I'm here.
Sorry.
Gonna have to make a pronunciation key for that.
Well, it's better than like Xern, which you could pronounce but not spell.
I suppose.
So, and also coming back is Terrence McManus from AJComic.com. Average Joe, welcome.
Good morning, everybody.
Very good morning for you. I hear it's 4 a.m. over in Oz.
Something like that, but you know, we still don't have clocks over here yet, so we need to wait till the sun come up for the sundial.
Yeah, snip, snip here, snip, snip there.
So, apparently, I learned something that Oz means Australia. For some reason.
It does.
So, and here I was.
It's because we're a magical land that's only a hurricane right away.
Yeah.
Well, here they are.
So this week we got a little bit of news here. And let's see here. We've got, we're going to go through a couple of things. Apple is at it again, apparently. Apple forces the removal of 1,500 French comics from an iBook app. Now, this is an app where you also go into the app and you can buy stuff in the app. It's not like on Apple's stuff. It's not like iTunes or anything. It's through an app that there's like, hey, you have some content that is, quote, considered to be pornographic for Americans. Either remove these items or your whole app will be taken down from the App Store. And they never bothered to tell them which titles have been of concern. So they had to go through and just took out every little thing that could be like a revealing a breast, cleavage, curves, and other slightly. It's like, what? You can't.
That's Apple. That's what Apple does. Apple is all about insane control. Closed garden. You can't go anywhere else for what you want or what you need. And the thing is, you know what? People are, you know, there are adults using Apple products. There are adults that want digital distribution and they want adult things. To try and ban that because of terms of policy and all that bullshit. Apple is one of the worst companies when it comes to this. And honestly, it's actually a shock to me that there is no European Union trade bullshit going after them like they went after Microsoft. Because what Microsoft did is not even an iota of how Apple is.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, in defense, it is a private company. It's and they don't want certain things on their thing. And you can understand that. It's not like it's a government thing and where you actually do have freedom of speech and everything like that. It is a private company. But
at the same time on that, though, how do they go about deciding what they distribute per country as well? Because I certainly know going through the Apple store in Australia, we get a lot of different options to what, say, the American Apple store market goes to. And that goes for pricing, that goes for content. Why has Apple come back in a situation like this then and not said something along the lines of, well, this is obvious, you know, what the French market is producing and wants, so leave it on the French market. We won't make this available for the American market because we think it's considered pornographic. They've just said, just take it off entirely. It's got to be gone.
I think also part of it.
How do they go about that?
Well, part of it to realize is, and this is something that very few people want to talk about, is if you sell content through Apple, if for every dollar that something is sold for, Apple gets 33 cents. This is the highest markup of any online store in existence. This is the highest markup percentage, and no one talks about this. And like I said, Apple as a whole, I would never develop things for Apple's ecosystem. I will never touch Apple's ecosystem because of this, because of these unfair practices. Another good example of this is with their web browsers. Let's say you're on an iPhone and Lord knows why, and you want to use Chrome. Well, the Chrome that comes on the iPhone doesn't use Google's Chrome rendering engine. What it does is it uses the last version of WebKit, because Apple says, oh, if you want to make a browser, all you're doing is making a shell around this specific version of WebKit. You can't do anything fancy with it. You can't do anything cool with it. You can't use a new JavaScript renderer. This is what you have to use. Imagine if Microsoft said, oh, and with Windows, you can use any browser as long as it uses the IE Trident engine. All you're doing is just putting a shell around it. The EU would have got blown a gasket. Apple's all about this closed ecosystem bullshit that you know, I bought this hardware. I want to do what I want to with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if you want to do even, you know, then you make a Hackintosh in that situation. But here's the thing, and I'm not a Mac user, but I've heard enough of a Mac user who will defend it, and it does make sense if you're willing to drink the Kool-Aid, is basically what Mac users say.
You're willing to drink the Kool-Aid, you're in Jonestown, so you're dead.
But here's the reason that it's a matter of their ecosystem, and all the programs that are supposed to be for it are supposed to, like, you. The highest plug and play ability is basically is what's supposed to happen. But if it's for Apple, it should work on a huge range of stuff. Though, like, your really oldest stuff these days with the new OSs, they're starting to not work.
Starting to. Look, Fez, I'm sorry to pop your balloon here, but what you're saying is not true.
I am quite possibly misquoting people,
Let me explain.
I'm not a straw man here, just to be sure. I'm not a plant.
Okay, let me explain how Apple's ecosystem works with hardware and software. It works like this. People who, like 6 years ago, when people who were using OS 9, or 7 years ago, pardon me, were using OS 9, OS X came along, and OS 9 worked on PowerPC bases. OS X came along and had to use the new Intel base.
Yep.
So basically that meant you had to buy new hardware, and you had to buy all the old software again, because the old software wasn't compatible. And then they did that again. Just recently, they changed it to where, oh, the Intel base isn't the new base now. You have to use a different base, and all your old software doesn't work again. You have to buy all the software again. That's Apple's motto and model, is where basically they force obsolescence, and any other tech company couldn't get away with this bullshit.
Tell us how you really feel, Ben. So if anybody would like to say correct Ben, who say they would know better than Ben as far as when it comes to Macs, you know, for certainly you can let us know. And I mean, I'd love telling Ben how wrong he is. So if you have other information.
But I'm not wrong. That's the thing. I'm a graphic designer. I had to go through those classes. I had to sit through the Kool-Aid drinking sessions. while knowing, you know what, all the same software is on Windows, so I don't have to do this.
All I know is that there are plenty of pros for Mac users, and since I'm not a Mac user, I can't properly describe that. I'm also trying to quell a little bit of hate that's probably coming out of Ben right now, since he seriously has some issues. Back to the article, though. Where I take stock with this, where I have a real personal disagreement with Apple on this, it's like, yeah, they're a private company, yeah, whatever, they technically should be able to do blah, 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 blah. But the what I really hate is that they don't really tell them what quote-unquote Americans find offensive or pornographic. And I was like, I'm an American. Don't fucking you tell other people what you would consider as, like, what do you think is pornographic? Do you think a little bit of, like, showing a hip or some cleavage or a boob or something like that is pornographic? I mean, if they're not fucking, I wouldn't say it's pornographic.
It is a French comic after all. And I looked at what one of the artists for it was saying on the badly translated page, and there's some interesting things he makes mention to happening in those comics. it's a pretty wide net that's being cast. For every scene where you've got a couple of people kissing each other on their whatnots, you've got just a picture of someone bending over and showing a little bit of cleavage, and that it's a pretty wide net that seems to have been implied.
Yeah, it's like, I have no idea why Apple feels this way. It, like, a simple like rating system, and it locks people out unless whatever. I mean, it's not like that hard to frickin' implement.
Well, I'm against the rating system too.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
That rating system is already on there for that app too, because it says that Isneo's app, which is where they were displaying this content that's been asked to be removed, it's restricted to people over 17 years of age as well. So it's not like really young kids are going to be able to stumble across this.
Well, then what the hell?
Although I suppose it would be through the iBook store, because they weren't being asked to remove stuff from the iBook store, just from their own brand app.
Yeah.
Which I think is even more backwards, because if you have got a dedicated app for this content, then that should sort of be your first wall in your defense. But yeah, apparently not.
But yeah, it's the thing is, like I was saying earlier, I'm against a rating system like this too, because I think it's really up to if you're an adult and you're a parent and you have kids, part of the curation should be your job, not some company's job, because once it becomes some company's job or a government's job, it gets all messy.
No, a simple barrier just to protect the asses of the content providers.
See, like, you say protect.
But there already is a barrier. Someone said that it's restricted to ages 17 and up. So I don't even understand why they're even doing anything about this.
It's Apple doesn't want it on their available because they're Apple, and that's where I take an issue with it. So.
Well, so a way to solve that.
Yeah.
Apple, I don't give you my money.
Yeah, I don't either. I got Android, so I'm happy with that. And so let's move on to our next topic. New York to ban cosplaying. I should mention the last article was also brought up by Bleeding Cool. This one has also been brought up by Bleeding Cool and also on the New York Daily News.
Well, they already tried soda, so what next?
Yeah, what is it with New York and banning things?
I don't know. I don't live in New York, so.
Well, they want to get rid of fun, Neil. They want to get rid of sugar drinks and girls dressed up as Miss Marvel. The right Miss Marvel.
The correct Miss Marvel.
That's correct.
Uh-huh. Right. I prefer the new Captain Marvel myself.
Oh,
with the butch haircut and no thighs.
She's sexy.
You heard it here first. Fess likes butch.
Yeah. So what's to you? So we have the question was brought up by Bleeding Cool that this legislation that's been introduced could inadvertently affect when people go to cons and they dress up as their favorite characters and all that sort of thing. That's not what the legislation actually was angled for. Apparently, there's people that are just dressing up as copyrighted characters as though they're like not like street vendors or something like that, but traveling merchants. Kind of.
Street performers. This happens all the time in L.A. in front of the Chinese theater. There's actually a documentary about that in L.A.
Yeah, street performers. So, but they don't – I'm not sure how much they actually perform. Sounds like they just basically pose for people in their – some of the pictures shown and they're sort of not really good costumes, but – and then they do it for quote unquote tips. And, apparently if you don't tip them, some might accost you.
Cookie Monster punches your kid.
Yeah. So it's like, that's what they want to stop, or at least legislate in such a way as that you need to have permission for that. And, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think let people have their fun.
Don't they already have laws against stalking? What does stopping the costumes have to do with anything?
Well, it's to keep people from because there's like there's probably other laws that are in place that would also handle some of this sort of stuff. But it's almost as if they're trying to like take care of a problem, perhaps not in the correct way. There's people walking around New York in costumes and trying to get money for posing as. Basically copyrighted characters. Now, when you're going to a convention, you're not really cosplaying for cash. You're just kind of there being and hanging out.
That's not entirely true.
That's really not. I don't think.
I've never seen.
Really think.
There's contests. They give cash prizes at contests.
That's contests that's also within the con establishment as well. This isn't walking up and down the street posing with tourists for cash.
Like you said, but they don't do it for cash.
I don't see how cash really comes into it either.
A contest is different.
Surely if they're doing this for cash on the street, they'd fall under the same laws that currently govern people like other street entertainers like buskers and that.
And then with the dancing monkeys and all that. Yeah,
for that as well. Yeah, so that's probably where the money, the tips issue makes the biggest sort of, should make the biggest split between the two, the ones not doing it for money at a con and the ones doing it on the street. But
are we really going to talk about regulating people who perform on the streets? I mean, come on. There's better uses of time and money than that. You have to create a new agency for that. You have to create permits for that. This is bullshit.
Ben, you...
And then it's the government that comes after you, stalking you for money.
Yeah. This is... You know, the answer isn't more regulation. The answer is less.
We're not going to bring into politics into this one, Ben. but yeah, it's. I don't think this will go through, and it could be like overreacting to because basically somebody didn't tip, and then the Cookie Monster assaulted them for not tipping, and it's like
they're not dressing up as the Cookie Monster.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you read the second article?
Yes, I did. I'm just trying to poke your...
It's Cookie Monster. It's titled Cookie Monster Scandal.
Wasn't it like the first episode of Batman Beyond where one of the Jokers made someone laugh and then he like held out his hand for cash?
Yes.
That's what this kind of reminds me of.
Oh, there's Elmo and he's touching a little boy.
Ben...
Tickle you, Elmo.
It's in the picture fest. What do you want me to say? It doesn't exist. It's
yeah, not because there. He's holding him up.
Yeah, that makes it better.
I'm sure the parent is there behind the camera taking the picture.
I'm sure just to make sure that nothing clashes.
Fondle me, Elmo.
Moving on. Moving on to our next article. Who actually posted this? Terrence, was this you?
I threw that one in, yeah, following our last discussion of it, yeah. The couple of weeks back, I think it was now, we mentioned the news item about Mohamed Sabana, I think his name's pronounced, the Palestinian cartoonist that was arrested by Israel in February and had still been held without charge. There's a bit of speculation thrown about as to what possible reason he could have been arrested for. Now he has been charged, according to a link we found through the Daily Cartoonist and also reported in Fars News. He has been charged with
contacting enemy
entities.
Yeah,
which seems a pretty broad kind of charge. I don't know if you can get in trouble for sitting next to someone on a bus or something, but it could. It really. It's even with the denotation of what he's been arrested for, it's still pretty pretty obvious that he's been put in for his political views and for what he's been saying in through his cartoons. But luckily for him, he's been charged now for a total. It's 5 months jail time. I don't know if that counts time already served. Hopefully it does. And also 10,000 shekels, which comes to about $2,500 or so in converted costs. So it's a very interesting little thing. It's good to see the end of it. It's good to see that he's not been held without being actually charged with something. But when the charge is so broad, it seems pretty obvious that he was taken off the street because someone didn't like what he was saying, and that was that. So it's pretty nice to be able to sit down in a country where that doesn't happen to you and expound on an article like this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's one of the things. It's some things people don't realize is, you know, in the United States, it's actually, you have it pretty good. Because this is an example I always use. In France, you can get thrown in jail for booing during their national anthem during a football game or soccer game or whatever you want to call it.
Football.
Mm.
Yeah.
You get people jumping up and down and you know, decrying against violations on free speech for things like being asked to remove your comic from an app. It's nice to also have another look at where some people are getting seriously in trouble for their right to free speech.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I said, that's the thing. Very few other countries actually have the same right to free speech that America does. And, you know, France is my favorite example because they're just so backwards there still.
Send hate mail to Ben Carver.
No, you know what?
As it's much true, as though. You complain about Scott Kurtz shooting from the hip, you shoot from the hip all the time.
But I'm right, though. France has had human rights violations in their prisons that make ours look like luxury suites.
Maybe we should threaten to deport our prisons prisoners for jail time to other countries for some comparison.
They can get hit on by Nicolas Sarkozy.
Yeah.
Prison exchange.
Prison exchange program.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, we'll just send them all to Australia again.
Oh.
Hey, it worked once.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, once. But we probably shouldn't get into that. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll finish up this short episode.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. Love the show? Please grab the iTunes or RSS feed. We are also on Stitcher.com with Stitcher Smart Radio, an on-demand service where you can stitch podcast and radio show feeds together for your own personal streaming service. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity in the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic books, news, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
So that's fun. What do you think, Neil?
About what?
This episode as a whole.
It's pretty short.
It is pretty short.
Well, I've been thinking of it as a whole, so.
Oh.
Then why do you come back each week?
Because you keep on asking me to.
And besides, as Ben has said many times, it's no fun getting to complain about something if you don't pay your time for it.
Yeah, Ben did bring up the fact that maybe some of the programming I put together is a little homogenized, I think is what you said.
Yes, I said it was as stable as room temperature milk products.
Well, that's a little bit mean, but you do have a point in there somewhere. You know, one of the curds in the carton of milk that you have there, a little nugget of inspiration. And I figure, hey, let's try this sort of give and take shit that apparently you and I have. Of course, you're always going to think that you're right, but and just see how it goes. So that's why you're here, Ben, because it amuses me for some reason. Maybe I like abuse. I don't know.
There are other websites.
Do you have chains set up in your basement there, Fest?
No, they're not in the basement.
Then we get new French comic book territory.
All right. So,
did anyone ever take up your offer to watch Reboot in your basement with Tosina's pizza rolls?
I never offered that.
Yes, you did.
Pizza rolls.
You totally did it. The Reboot episode. You said, contact me and we'll watch Reboot in my basement and I'll cook you up some pizza rolls. You said that, Fess.
I am pretty sure you are combining several different statements into one statement.
That's exactly what you said.
I may have exactly said those words and sentences, but I'm pretty sure they're not all together like that. Ben, do you know the difference between a quote and a paraphrase?
Neil, did he say that or did he not say that?
That was so long ago. I don't know. I don't have perfect recall of every single episode.
Ben doesn't let things go, apparently. He commits things like you would believe. And
well, that's what happens after I read like about 800 issues of comic books. I have to remember everything.
I see. I question whether or not you're actually remembering things or if you're maybe thinking like you're paraphrasing things and things combine. Like when my one of my exes would say that I said something and I'd be like, I did not say that at all.
That's why she's an ex, because she didn't learn how to say, yes, you're right.
No, she's an ex.
The most important words in the English language.
She's an ex-fiance for other reasons, but we're still friends, though.
Well, you have to learn the motto. I'm a man. I can change, I guess.
Moving on to our next article. We have
red, green, never? Okay.
No, Ben, no. So, I mean, this is we're in our short mentions section, and who posted this one with PvP?
Guilty as charged again. I just came across this one the other week, and it struck me that this is something that can happen very easily in a medium like webcomics that I'm not too sure would have happened back in the day. The actual article or the news item is PvP's comic post for the 5th of April, which you can find on the PvP main site if you click back a couple of strips. Basically, Scott Kurtz got a letter from a reader of PvP talking about his daughter, who obviously reads PvP and loves it, and had created an imaginary character for herself, which was a cousin or niece, to Skull, Princess the Troll.
Yeah, this guy's daughter loves Skull the Troll and made her own.
Made her own version of it. So I presume she's got the little skull plushie or something at home and has gone and built this little her own fantasy world around it. And he was this dad who had written into Scott Kurtz was sort of lamenting his daughter growing a bit older and starting to fade away from some of these beliefs. So Scott, in his comic post for the next day or whatever, wrote a strip which brought Princess the Troll, this character this fan had created, into the strip as a canonical character, which I thought was just a little bit of sweetness, and a bit nice to see, and it's something that I was thinking to myself back in the old newspaper days. You'd be getting letters from thousands and thousands of people every year, and I don't know of another time where, or I don't know of an analog where you've had a Jim Davis or a Charles Schulz getting a letter from a fan and
it's never happened before in a strip.
So
there's a very good reason why that's never happened before, though. There's
good copyright reasons.
Yes, exactly. Let's say that Scott Curse wants to make a plushie of Princess now. Then all of a sudden that father will come back and say, "Hey, wait a minute, that's our character," and you'll have this problem that'll happen.
Even though it's based off of existing properties. Now I assume, or I hope, that Scott has been around long enough that he knows this sort of thing. This also could just be a one-off strip. If there's going to be a future storyline with her, I hope he talked to them about certain things. Yeah.
I hope it's a one-off. I hope that nothing comes of it, because any merchandise or anything like that goes into this murky, deep copyright area where people who make fan derivative work somehow seems to believe that they own it. Like, there's many examples of this in the past. Like there was another example was the Darkover series of novels, where the author Marion Zimmer Bradley was actively involved with her fan community until finally one of the fans says, "Hey, you can't use that book. That has my ideas in it," and she couldn't publish the last books in this book series. And then there was another example more recent than that, Babylon 5. JMS was actively involved in BBS groups with the Babylon 5 fans until one fan says, "Hey, you can't do that storyline. That was based off something I said on this BBC group. I know you were on it." And basically JMS had to go through old notes, find old notes that were dated, and show it to a judge and basically say, here's proof that I came up with my own ideas.
Yeah.
And like I said, this is why you don't see you haven't seen Jim Davis or Charles Schulz doing this, because there is this.
Yeah, and that's fine for when if you do want to go on and, as you say, bring some more merchandising or some more sort of value for your thing out of it. But for what it is, for just a standalone one-off little sort of nod to a fan.
Right. It is cute. It is very heartfelt. Right. Cute. I agree.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, honestly, I do think that that someone in Scott's position is going to be smart enough not to then try to spin a money tree out of something like that. And I don't think that was. I think the intention behind the post is different from looking forward now I've got a new character I can play with.
Yeah,
I do hope it's a one-off, and I do hope that Scott Kurtz is smart enough to if he does want to continue with this character, he sends the proper legal documents to the family and gets them signed. But like I said, we shouldn't diminish that the fact that this is a cute thing for Scott Kurtz to do, one of the only cute things he's ever done in his life.
Oh, come on.
Backhanded compliment. Yeah.
Send hate
we
mail.
Finish it at all.
No, yeah. And also, this is a very specific example of as in he actually talked with them. And it was like, it wasn't like as in like a forum where people are just talking about this. Hey, and this would be cool. And then he saw that, there's direct communication from the start too. So that's very different too. And of course it's very cool to be able to do something like this. And it's a lot more possible to do something like this in, say, web comics. And so there you go. I think we got one more item. I wanted to bring this up. Free Comic Book Day is coming up May 4th, 2013. I wanted to get people a heads up early enough to go and check out their local comic book stores for the free comic books that are going to be coming out, as well as if there's any, there's going to be any cartoonists that are going to be there doing signings or selling sketches and things like that. I think it's I know in Minnesota, since we're a huge consumer of comic books here, and we got tons of comic book shops here, there and a lot of talents around here doing signings and things like that. I'm going to try to go around and get some video and some quick interviews of some of the people, some of the artists that are going to be here doing signings and such, and talk with some of the stores. I'm going to see what I can do with it. So, but you guys should check out things in your local area, or local-ish area, depending on where you're, where or if any comic book stores are, and just check out some of the offerings that are there. It's especially a fun day for like getting kids involved and checking out just a getting swag and whatnot. You can check out more at freecomicbookday.com. I know I'll be probably going to be at least 3, maybe 4 shops. So, and I'll probably find a couple of more. Is anybody else gonna planning anything for Free Comic Book Day?
Nope.
No.
The one comic book store that we have here in Geelong, my town, is has got a day of events planned, which will be pretty good, but I'm going to be elsewhere on the day.
Most comic book stores around here have converted to anime stores that also have a wall of comics now, so.
Well, if you want to survive as a brick and mortar comic book store, you got to have a variety there. I mean, most of the comic book stores here, the ones that are doing very well, diversify their stock, and they also do like a lot of like gaming stuff, like tabletop gaming or HeroClix and trading cards.
Yeah, there's gaming rooms in the back too, where you have the guys. They also arrange LARPing events and stuff like that. It's not the same comic book thing I went into in the late 90s. It's not the same anymore for me. So I just don't go.
You fucking elitist.
I don't like LARPing. What's wrong with not wanting to LARP?
Oh, we don't go to this store anymore. There's those people there.
There's LARPers there.
Oh, Ben.
Have you ever met a LARPer, Fess?
Yes.
Figures.
Oh, because I've been tainted because I've met them.
Damn it. Reenactment's much more fun than LARPing anyway.
You're reenacting your World of Darkness game.
You know what? LARPing's been around forever, but still it's kind of weird.
Only if you let it be, Ben.
Yeah, but except, you know, way back in the day, it just used to be called war. But, you know.
No, back in the day, it was called, back in the day, it was called Civil War reenactments in the South.
LARPing. Ah, that's fun. So basically, the Webcomic Beacon newscast is going to be the next time you hear the Webcomic Beacon newscast in a couple of weeks. It will be the 100th episode of the Webcomic Beacon newscast, but as well as the 300th episode of the Webcomic Beacon, as I am recombining the Webcomic Beacon newscast and Webcomic Beacon core programming back into the same show.
By his powers combined.
Get the whole
fusion, ha!
Yeah, back in episode 24 of the 24th episode of the Webcomic Beacon newscast is when it split off. So I'll be recombining them, adding the 100 episodes of the newscast minus 24, adding, you know, so it'll be like 360. Episodes, and the 300, basically it's episode 300-100 is what I'm calling it. It's to basically make a nice big large note in the archives when people see it, as we recombine things and move things forward, because I got plans going on, and it's just working out better that way. And so far we're offering things a webcomic podcast thing once a week for now. The newscast is kind of every other week. Still trying to get through this, and glad to hear your feedback. We'll be looking for guest hosts to come on occasionally and talk about the news with us. Just, you know, items of interest that we would like to discuss. So, also be looking forward to the 300-100 episode where I get in the old newscast crew together and talking about where are they now sort of thing, even though they weren't really gone for that long. But, you know, it'll be fun. And I think I can get almost everyone back. Almost.
Who's the holdouts?
It looks like I got most everybody. I mean, there's been like occasional guests, but as Ross Scott seems to be in, Alex seems to be in, Tom seems to be in, Marie Terry seems to be in, and she was sort of like a frequent guest that became kind of like crew for a while. So, and I think I'm going to be able to get them all on. It's trying to get them all on at the same time is still a challenge. But I'm hoping that'll be a really fun episode and just, you know, see what up.
If this is going to be like a super special episode, just make it like a 24-hour episode or something.
I've tried to make a 24-hour episode of the Webcomic Beacon during a 24-hour comics day. And
he fell asleep at hour 7.
I did take naps, but I'd also set up music to play while I was napping. But there was nothing to really talk about for 24 hours. Because everyone's working on the comic and, you know, and then where do you save all that? Where do you upload 24 hours of podcast? You mean I'm going to go through and edit that crap? Hell no. And then I did end up editing the 7 hours that I had scheduled. I had to clip a few in here and there. I had some guests. I believe JT Shea played a ukulele song for us. So that was pretty fun. I included that. So, yeah.
And then everybody, you know, all the hundreds of people that have ever listened to the Webcomic Beacon, come along and download this 24-hour one all at once.
Hundreds?
Hundreds.
Millions. Sorry, I don't want to denigrate.
Tens of listeners.
We've got hundreds. We've got hundreds. Bastards.
I love reading all their comments.
Yeah, they don't comment a whole lot, but the downloads are there. I see the downloads. Nobody's saying anything.
Clearly, everything that needs to be said is being said.
Well, no, I did get a couple of private communiques about Ben, but
I also had people call you the hole.
Yeah, you on this show like 20 minutes ago.
No, Plug My Duck called you a hole. Neil saw it too, right, Neil?
I did see it, yeah.
Well, maybe we need to have another podcast entitled Fez's Hole. Ooh, hang on.
Not what he wants. No.
Not touching that.
Better not touch
probably,
it.
That's probably wise.
I don't want you to touch it. No offense to you. I mean, if you're into that sort of thing, Neil. But
no.
All right. We're done with this episode of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. I do want to thank TV's Mr. Neil from animationaficionados.com
DeCian.com. And if you can't spell that, go to nosuperpants.com. It's the same site.
NoSuperPants.com. Thank you for joining us. And also, Ben Carver, the opinionated Ben Carver, thinks he's right, from AnimationAficionados.com as well. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, that's because I just know I'm right.
Uh-huh. And Terrence McManus from AJComic.com, hailing all the way from Oz really early in the morning. Thank you for coming back on the show.
No worries. Thank you, guys.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone.